That historian is Simon Cordry. He chairs Western Illinois University's Department of History. He says much of Illinois had not yet been settled when rails began crisscrossing the state in the mid-1800s.
Illinois was essentially a wilderness. It was the frontier. When the Illinois Central Railroad sent out surveyors to map out where their line was going to go in 1851 and 1852, there are numerous examples of these surveyors being attacked by wolves. This really was the frontier.
People now tend to think of railroads as sort of antiquated and something very outdated. What did people, you know, think of railroads? What were they like in the popular imagination?
People in the 19th century saw the railroad in the same way that we would have seen the space program, the moonshot program in particular, in the 1960s, and the same way that we look at the internet today. It's the technology of the future.
One of the contrasts between some of those technologies and this is some of the characters in these stories aren't the most scrupulous people, and maybe could you take us through some examples of that sort of Wild West aspect of it?
A prime example of what I think we could call cowboy capitalism, with the idea that it's out of control, is Henry Dwight Jr. Henry Dwight Jr. was a New York banker who was asked by the president of the Alton and Sangamon Railroad, a man by the name of Godfrey. Benjamin Godfrey said to Henry Dwight Jr., "Can you help me raise money?" And Henry Dwight Jr. recognized that here was, to be blunt, a mark. And so he convinced the Alton and Sangamon to turn over everything to him to enable him to pillage and plunder the railroad for his own ends. And he did so, I mean, by any standards, he did so magnificently. Henry Dwight Jr. had his own appointees on the board of directors, and that enabled him to raise money to repay personal loans. He used company collateral for his own use. He would pocket insurance payouts that were supposed to go to the victims of train wrecks. He would do all sorts of nefarious things in order to benefit himself and his closest friends. And there are lots of examples of that kind of, frankly, completely unscrupulous and totally immoral and borderline illegal by the standards of the time activities. But when you look closely enough, you could argue that many of the better known railroad entrepreneurs also, like the best professional athletes, pushed themselves close to the edge of the law to find out what they could get away with. So I think that Henry Dwight Jr. is an extreme example, but certainly not the only example. The Illinois Central was trying to build into Chicago, and in order to do so, it had to cross the existing tracks of an Indiana railroad, the Indiana Northern. The Indiana Northern didn't want the Illinois Central to do that. And so the Illinois Central Railroad simply went ahead on a cloudy, moonless night. The Illinois Central kidnapped the guards who the Indiana Northern had set up, and they just slapped down a rail. They crossed the other railroad and made their way into Chicago. And the consequence was, of course, deadly, because the two companies ignored each other. And in 1853, two trains smashed into each other, and 18 people were killed and 40 or so injured.
Does it strike you that a lot of the issues that come up when you look at this sort of time period are not things that we've completely gone past or figured out? Am I off base in that, or does that sort of ring a bell?
Context is everything, and certainly there are differences between the actions of a Henry Dwight Jr. in ripping off completely the Alton and Sangamon Railroad. But yeah, there are definitely echoes and reflections of those acts, events, and issues in what happens today. And it's also true today that railroads are still relevant. We tend to think of the railroads as somehow only passenger railroads. But if you look at the seven major railroads in the United States today, all seven of them are very profitable. They are very busy. They're all expanding capacity. Without all of those containers rattling from the West Coast and the East Coast and, frankly, from New Orleans to the rest of the country, we would be severely materially depleted.
So let's say, you know, the railroad stopped working. Would we notice pretty quickly?
We would notice immediately, absolutely. One of the other commodities that railroads carry is oil. And so, for example, oil that's being produced in the United States, much of it travels by pipeline, but there's still a significant share that travels by railroad. So we would notice at the gas pump, I imagine within a matter of weeks, were the railroads to stop running.
Simon Cordry chairs the Department of History at Western Illinois University. He says unlike our current rail system, the state and federal governments did not have the power to regulate commerce or safety laws during the rail industry's early days. He says it was only thanks to court cases launched in Illinois that those rules were eventually upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm Scott Stuntz.